Okay, and indeed, welcome back. Another hour of information for you to consider. Please do share these programs. Spread them around as much as you can. I think it's honestly, on balance, as close an exact replication of reality as you're going to get on radio or anywhere else. We're doing our best. We've been doing this now. We're in our fourth year. So we know pretty much what's going on. There are a number of issues out there, and certainly one of them is the fact that people are beginning to understand that the bioweapon injection is a killer. They also get that it's a bioweapon. It's not a naturally occurring vaccine by any stretch of the imagination. No vaccine is. They're all manufactured. But this one was manufactured to do one thing and one thing only. To kill. To kill. Not to confer any kind of protection on anyone. It is a bioweapon designed to kill. Now, the other side of that coin, which gets very little attention, except perhaps here, and that's the other bioweapon. Some of you say, what's that? What? It's the virus. Don't forget, it came out of a lab. It didn't dress itself up and walk out. It's a construct. It's a bioweapon virus. However it got out of the lab is irrelevant at this point. It's out and we're dealing with it. And the Japanese have said, and we've suggested, every variant that has come out since then is also a bioweapon. All lab created. The Japanese have said that quite clearly. We concur. All bioweapon lab creations. So remember, two bioweapons have been unleashed on us. And an attorney wrote to me, and thank you for that. Won't mention his name, but he asked about an antidote. And wouldn't they, if they're going to release something like this, have created an antidote for themselves, to protect themselves in case this thing got too close to home or whatever? And I think that that's correct. I think they do have an antidote, whether it's what we have as an antidote. And I think we have as close as we're going to get now, and I'll let Erica explain that. But I think they did. I mean, they're not insane, for God's sakes. Whatever they built, they're going to have a way to remedy it and to countermand it. But the real antidotes that we have are now front and center, and I think people are beginning to pay close attention. Hello, young lady. Welcome back.
Hello.
All right. See, I give her 127 words, and she gives me one. Why are women like that? Never mind. All right. Tell us about our antidotes, which we think are pretty damned effective in certainly a lot of cases. We could go with natokinase as an opener or whatever. The other supplements that we know are harmful or certainly impediments to the spike protein, but we've got some pretty good ones now. We're not helpless.
Well, the one that seems to come out on top rather consistently in terms of stopping viral replication is ivermectin.
Right.
And it's probably the most maligned therapeutic out there. They clearly don't want people to have it. But that seems to trump everything else. You know, maybe secondary to that would be HCQ, hydroxychloroquine, and in combination with azithromycin. Usually when you're talking about stopping viral replication, you can't just use one strategy. You want to use more than one. Because the virus will often outsmart just one targeted therapy.
Viruses are
called a monotherapy.
Swapping stuff and change. Oh yeah, they're
well,
they're
and that's
slick.
The danger with some of these antivirals like the Paxlovid. It only mm-hmm. targets one aspect of the virus,
mm-hmm.
and so you're going to get you know mutants, variants from that. Just due to the selective pressure, no different than when you just use an antibiotic on, you know, over and over again for a bacterial infection. If you don't knock them down sufficiently with a high enough dose, you're going to get survivors that will mutate very quickly and begin to outsmart that antibiotic. It's the same with viruses. So you have to use a multi-pronged approach to try to overcome the replication ability of that virus. And ivermectin has multiple mechanisms of action. at least seven.
So
you can cover a lot of the viral activity with just ivermectin, and you know, we see people get better within hours.
Yeah, it's true.
Of taking it, and it is important to take it as soon as the infection sets in. Yeah, don't wait, because you know, as time goes on, it will lose its effectiveness. And it seems to even help with spike poisoning. So it does have the ability to reduce the biological activity of that protein, prevent it from docking onto receptors or interfering with signaling molecules.
And don't be afraid to use the horse paste.
It's just as potent, if not more. People have had, right, you know, tremendous success with that as well.
And it's... I think it's been hailed as the most harmless pharmaceutical drug ever. It just has no problems to speak of. It just doesn't. Mm. It's a remarkable thing. So there you go. Ivermectin, fenbendazole, those two are working in concert now to do a lot of very, very salutary anti-cancer things in the body. Total mechanisms between the two of them is probably over 20. Anyway, it's up there. It's up there. So those are good. And if you still want the, I've edited together Kelly's stuff and some other things, and I have the file. And if you'd like it, I must have sent out 50 in the last 2 days. You can just write to me and ask for the fenbendazole or fenben, doesn't matter, file, and I'll send it along to you. But I'm not prescribing anything. I'm just sending you data that I've edited, okay? That's up to you. I know what I'd do if I were in trouble like that. I wouldn't hesitate. Okay, so here's the deal. We've got two bioweapons. You must not forget that. And it does seem that the more often someone has been infected with the viral bioweapon, and don't buy into the, excuse me, bullshit that there are no viruses. Please don't buy into that. It's such a lie. It's despicable. And the people pushing that are idiots. And I say that, and I know some of them. They just don't know any better. I wouldn't say they're idiots in all cases, but they've been duped. There are viruses, for God's sakes. This is just crazy to me. At any rate, all right, we let them up. Everyone's entitled to believe what they want. That's fine. That's okay. You do what you want. The issue with this bioweapon virus is that you're going to get spiked from it. It's going to create spike. Spike will create prion proteins. And it won't just go after your body's own specific prion protein to flip it over. It'll go after any protein in your body. It can knock over any and misfold them. And you're in trouble because those misfolded proteins will go on in turn and misfold others that they run into. It's a domino cascade. And you don't want this virus. That's just one of many reasons. The shot, well, God help and God bless everyone who's taken the shots. That's all I can say. And you've got to think about the replication of the mRNA instruction packet that's covered with liquid nanoparticles. If there is a way that mRNA that you've picked up from the shot can replicate itself in your body, and we think there is, then that's just another example of whoever built this whole platform of death and destruction built it phenomenally well, incredibly well. They built it so the mRNA will be somehow recreated by your own body. The mRNA instructions cause your body's cells, those that are infested with an mRNA liquid nanoparticle package, to produce nothing but spike proteins. No more normal proteins. Cells produce proteins all the time. An infinite number, practically, doing different things in your body. But that cell, once it's invaded, it's turned into a kind of a sleepwalking non-entity anymore, and all it does is produce spike, which you don't need for a variety of reasons. don't get the virus. If you've had it two or three times, it seems like it's easier to get, and it seems it's suggestive also of doing more damage to the body. You may get it once, and you're not home free at all. Don't believe that stuff about it. Oh, it's just like the cold, you'll get over in a few days. Or it's a light virus, you'll get over it, a flu virus, no problem. Don't believe that. It's not true. I don't like saying this. I hate it. But once you get that bioweapon virus, you may be in more trouble than you would imagine. We're going to hear a video a little later from somebody who just got the virus and what he's dealing with now. But first up, we have Michael Yon, Y-O-N, who's done really great work along the border, describing the highest treason that this alleged government has perpetrated against the American people and the United States Constitution. He's now in Japan. Tell us what he's doing. We'll play this little clip here.
He met with this Dr. Yasufumi Murakami on the topic of the self-amplifying mRNA vaccines that are going to be, they've been approved in Japan, and I believe they're scheduled to be deployed in October.
Please give us a synonym for self-amplifying, just to make sure everybody's on board.
Well, okay, so the self-amplifying is similar to the modified mRNA, except you need a lot less of it because it has the ability to copy itself and, well, make more copies of itself once it gets inside of you.
In your body. Yep. Those are the instructions to make spike. Okay, go ahead.
The concern is because it is self-amplifying.
Self-replicating, we could say, just as well.
Self-replicating, yeah. When it's shed, which it invariably will be, is it shed completely intact and able to be picked up by a bystander and continue self-amplifying?
In other words, as a quick example, I'm sorry. You're standing next to somebody in the store. They're loaded. They're exhaling. They're coughing. Whatever. It's in the air. It's aerosolized microdroplet particles. You inhale that, and you've got some self-replicating mRNA in that inhalation, and it's all of a sudden you're off to the races. It's in your body. It's replicating itself, and you could theoretically be producing spike proteins until you die. That's the possibility of shedding. The possibility of shedding. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, shedding a self-amplifying
That's right.
mRNA. And we still don't know if it's possible with these current ones, if that's happening. There is no answer to that right now.
We don't know.
It seems like it could be.
We were talking earlier. Why would they build something that didn't have that that capability in it? Why not? Let's
right.
build it so
I mean,
it can self-replicate. Of course.
The research that Stephanie Seneff presented, she did find literature supporting the fact that the intact full-length messenger mRNA has been found in exosomes. Not for this particular vaccine or injection, not for the COVID one, but for one that codes for erythropoietin, which is a protein made by the kidney. And it was done for gene therapy, legitimate gene therapy. But the full-length intact mRNA was found in exosomes after the person had been injected, or the animals, whichever it was. So it is theoretically possible that that could be shed and spread.
Of course. And the question is, why wouldn't they build it that way, as I said before? They want it to be spread and shed.
Well, now, if we move into self-amplifying mRNAs, I think it just dramatically increases that probability.
Where is the self-replicating, self-amplifying going to be found? In the new round of so-called vaccines? Is that how it's going to be manifested?
Well, it appears as though the fall booster in Japan is going to be using this.
Yeah.
And this is on the heels of, we had that other, I don't know if he was a virologist, Dr. Masanori Fukushima, that came out a month or so ago that said that these vaccines are killing people. We need to stop them.
Yes, he did.
here we are, full speed ahead.
Oh, getting ready for the fall rollout. And in Japan, it's going to have self-replicating mRNA. My
now, they've
God.
Already tested this.
It's only
this
a jet
in...
flight away from here, by the way. Think about it.
That's right, yeah. They've already tested this in about 20,000 people in Vietnam. That was where most of the clinical trials were done.
Uh-huh.
And these people had not been, they had not received any vaccine prior to getting this. And the adverse event rate was, Peter McCullough published something on this, 5 deaths occurred among the injected in phase 3B. Injected participants experienced a 90% adverse event rate.
90.
And they claimed 90%. A 55% efficacy rate. So it seems like it's really worth it, right?
Throw that out. 90% side effects. Unbelievable.
And 5 deaths.
Unbelievable. How can this testing even go on?
I don't know.
Don't you all get it? You all get it. We're
so they
on
broke
the way
that
out.
Down.
They want
90% adverse event rate. 74.5% were systemic, and 15.2% were required medical attention.
And
it
the test
wonderful.
Wasn't immediately truncated, stopped, thrown out, discounted. I don't know how much more clear it has to be.
No, I know.
This species has been earmarked, targeted, and injected with death. And the people, you know who the people behind it are. I don't have to tell you. You know who wants to run the world, who already thinks they are running the world. Ultimately, this is the same group of people.
Mm.
And they're going to keep an X number of goyim around to serve their fancies. It's not a joke.
Mm.
With AI to keep everything in check, piece of cake. All right, here's Michael Yan. Let's find out what he has to say. He's talking about the Japanese coming forward with the self-amplifying, self-replicating mRNA.
He's with Jim Ferguson.
Thank you.
I came across you through other contacts, and I reached out, and you know, I was delighted to hear back from you so quickly. And of course, you're working on some things. You're traveling all over the world. You're spending time, not just in Japan. I mean, you're there now, but and we're going to come on to why you're there. There's some dark stuff going on in this world, Michael, and it takes people who are warriors in spirit and warriors in real life sometimes to actually penetrate the darkness and get the truth out. But we're going to come on to some stuff. But, you know, there are aspects of what's been happening over the last 3 to 4 years that I think have shocked the entire world. You know, we've seen these forced vaccine mandates. We've seen the excess deaths. We've seen the early onset cancers. We've seen an explosion in death all around the world. And I get many professors, scientists, epidemiologists, virologists coming on to talk about a lot of these things, and it's quite concerning. But you and I have talked about something that's about to happen in Japan, and would you like to just say a little bit about what's actually going on there just now, because I think this is going to shock a lot of people.
Right. You know, there's a lot of different aspects of this really incredible war that's unfolding there now. One is weaponized migration, which you are very well aware of. You talk about it often. And it's on your X page and that sort of, I mean, as well for me, I've been over to the UK looking at it, including, you know, Republic of Ireland, and I've been up to Belfast, I've been to Dublin, I've been looking at it everywhere, right? Been looking at it all over the world. There's that, then there's the, of course, information war is the highest form of warfare. Then we've got food issues that will be coming, but a big one is the pharmacide, the genocide that's unfolding with these jabs, right? And you can see that these jabs are quite deadly. It's very obvious at this point. Now there's another variant coming out of the jabs, and it's self-replicating mRNA. It's not the old deadly ones. It's a new deadly one that's self-replicating. Let me say that again. It's self-amplifying. So in other words, once you get jabbed, you know, the My Body, My Choice isn't going to work with this one because it's designed to shed, right? We've been spending a lot of time with Dr. Yasufumi Murakami. He's an expert on this. He's actually a virologist and an immunologist. He teaches oncology actually at Tokyo University. We spent 6 long days with him, actually. I mean, like 12 hours a day, you know what I mean? And and we're going to be with him again, I think, tomorrow, actually. And he's an expert on this. And he's been warning about the self-replicating, self-amplifying mRNA. Another aspect that's quite interesting is this, is they've already jabbed at least 4,300 Japanese with it, or at least that's what they've said, and also some Vietnamese. I don't know the numbers of those. But the factory, this is an American technology, but the factory that they've opened is in Fukushima Prefecture, of all places in the world. So it's in Fukushima. So they're going to be rolling these out hardcore in October, right? That's when they plan to do mass jabbing with this. This is quite interesting because, you know, made in Japan is still very well respected around the world. I mean, nobody wants a jab made in China. And at this point, nobody wants one made in America, right? Or anywhere. But made in...
We should point out that the next release of the latest and greatest version of the deadly bioweapon, so-called vaccine, is due here in September.
Mm-hmm.
September. We found that out in our research with pharmacies a few days ago. So get ready.
It still has a good name. And so it's about to be a bad name because it's clear that this thing is going to be bad. Dr. Murakami, he's a man you would really want to talk with. He'll tell you. I mean, this thing isn't there to...
I got to ask a rhetorical question here. Who in their right mind at this point into the fourth year of this stuff, or damn near, would even think about making a self-amplifying vaccine with this death in it? Are these scientists in Japan that stupid? No. I think they got paid off. It's the only thing that makes sense to me.
It has to be.
Anything. It's just there to reduce population. We see, for instance, the Japanese are seeing over here that birth rates are dropping and, you know, fertility is dropping and that sort of thing. Actually, let me talk about something else for a minute, which is related. Ivermectin. Ivermectin was discovered by a Japanese scientist who happens to be a good friend of Dr. Murakami. We're going to talk with him soon, hopefully. And he discovered this, I believe, on a golf course in Japan. And it's just been like this wonder drug, ivermectin, right? Which now, but interestingly, in Japan, they sort of outlawed it. You have to get it. The Japanese, like Murakami, he had to get his ivermectin from India. You have to get it from India because when this whole pandemic pharmacide unfolded, Japan took the ivermectin off the shelves. So you had Japanese flying over to India to get it. You can't make up this stuff. Ivermectin came from Japan, and you can't get it in Japan, right? That's how this is an obvious and open war, right? And yet still people are falling for it. Now, there's going to be mass jabbings at a stadium in Yokohama on June 14th and 21st. That's on the Fridays of June 14th and Friday, June 21st. And this is with let's see what this is about. You can register for it online. They say they're only accepting 100 registrations per day, and now they're full, but I don't believe it.
A mass jabbing in a stadium in Japan. It sounds like ritualized death.
I know.
It's in a stadium, a baseball stadium that seats 40,000 people. We have no idea how many people are going to show up, but we're going to go. And we're going to take a look, and we'll live stream it if there's a lot of people there or if there's not a lot of people. But the bottom line is the pharmacide continues. Go ahead, sir.
Can I ask you a question about that? What is the reason for this mass jabbing at this Yokohama Stadium? Is it to do with the COVID? Is it to do with something else that they say that you're needing to get? I mean, why now at this point? I mean, we're out of the pandemic. There isn't another declared pandemic. Why are they doing this? I mean, I think you and I both know why they're doing it, but what's the sort of the pretext? What's the excuse for doing this to these people?
The pretext, I mean, so a very good question. The pretext is that it's actually for COVID. You can't even make up this stuff. Again, this is like a series of you can't make up this stuff, right?
And people are buying, they're still buying that? They're still going along with that, are they?
Yeah, a lot of Japanese are on their seventh jab. Seventh. A problem that the Japanese have is most don't speak any foreign languages. And so even though they're very well educated and very sharp people, right?
Well, their culture also is predicated on obedience. That's another hallmark that most people don't understand. They do what they're told. That was well evidenced in World War II. Very disciplined people.
They're in a hermetically sealed almost. Most just can't, and there's not a big blogger culture here, right? And so the main newspapers like Asahi Shimbun and Sankei Shimbun and Yomiuri Shimbun, these things, they're all globalist controlled now, right? Even Sankei, which used to be, you got to keep in mind, journalists have been very well respected in Japan, much more than they have been in the UK and the United States. And in fact, I mean, Japan has such a history. These people read, man. You know, I mean, nobody reads like Japanese. I spend so much time in these bookstores. They got these antique bookstores about 20 minutes from me. And it's just like, I just bought these old British books. You're not going to believe how much money I spent. But they read a lot. You can tell a lot by a country by going to their bookstores. Like in the UK, you guys got killer bookstores, right? And
I don't think we even have any bookstores left here, do we? A few Barnes and Nobles?
Very few.
No, they've all closed up.
Yep.
Nobody's reading. Reading is being exterminated. There's no doubt. All right, how much more do you want to go? We got another video
that's good. You get the picture.
Yeah, okay. Very good.
The thing is, this is going to be a disaster. Now, the clinical trials, phase 1, 2, and 3 that were all done simultaneously, were done on people who hadn't received any vaccines, none, pertaining to COVID. So even then, these people still had high levels, high percentage rate of adverse events. I just wonder when they start jabbing people who are already immune compromised and are full of this, you know, foreign material already, are they going to have enough of an immune response to shut this down? Because the thing's going to start replicating the minute it gets inside of them.
I'm appalled. You think of the Japanese as being enlightened and out in front. This is crazy.
This is incredible.
Yeah, it truly is. All right. I'm going to play a video now. It's a guy's name is Chad, and he has a channel called Truck Talk. And apparently he's gotten a lot of members, 123,000 views on this one, 400,000 subscribers. So he's pretty good. Now, he did not take the shot, okay? He's around people, and he's been shed upon. And I'm not sure if he fully connects it, but you'll have to hear what he has to say. This is very interesting.
Well, and I want to add too that this is what was he, a ex-Marine?
I believe
he's
so,
somebody
yeah.
that has kept himself
yeah.
in very good
very
physical
good condition.
Pays attention to his diet. You know, just not a sickly person at all. Just holds his
Several
health in
Marines
high regard.
Wrote in and echoed that they're also Marines. I was a paratrooper. I was a Marine. So there's a link there for sure. All right, here's. Here's Chad, unvaxxed.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Truck Talk brought to you by me, inspired by my man, Chili. I haven't talked to you guys about this yet, but it's something that I want to throw out there and just for your situational awareness and to share with you something that I think is happening. You don't know this, but for about the last 2 weeks now, I've been laid up and in some pretty significant pain because of a fairly large blood clot that formed in my leg. Now, I am an extremely fit human being, healthy in all ways, shapes, and forms, from my diet to my exercise to my lifestyle it's all thought through and done pretty properly. And this just popped up out of nowhere. And obviously the doctors really don't have anything or advice or any cause that they can put their finger on. Now, it's not just me. There are numerous people who are close to me who are experiencing strange and unexplained heart problems. And these are healthy people just like me, and nobody can explain what's happening to them.
I want to make a point. This is common now. Many, many people, a lot of them not vaxxed, some of them vaxxed, but virtually everyone now knows one or a bunch of people who are beginning to manifest severe, we'll call them side effects just for fun. You know what they are. This manifestation is building into a crescendo all over the place.
This is a lot of people that I know. To be honest with you, man, I truly believe this. I truly believe that that global sickness that happened in 2020, I believe that it was specifically designed to have long-term effects on a large portion of humanity.
He's talking about the virus, obviously. He's being careful with his words because he doesn't want to get his videos bounced. But that's precisely what he's talking about.
I believe that it has weakened a large portion of humanity in a significant way. I believe that is the way it was designed. I believe we've been thinking about this wrong the entire time. I think that there's been too much emphasis on the idea that that shot that they came out with and made everybody take was the thing that was going to negatively impact people's health long term. And I believe that it does contribute to that. But I believe it was that global sickness itself. See, I've had about I've had probably 4 or 5 bouts with that sickness. And along with other people that I know, and we didn't take that shot that everybody was taking. We didn't do that. But it has significantly impacted our health, and some very strange things and life-threatening things are happening. I would go as far as to say that that sickness was designed to have long-term impacts on the health of most of humanity. And I would go as far as to say that whoever was responsible for designing that sickness also designed an antidote at the same time. And I believe that certain people have probably access to that antidote to where they don't experience the long-term health side effects from contracting that sickness. I know this is crazy for a lot of you guys. A lot of you guys think that I'm crazy for saying this.
No, we don't at all, Chad. And you're right. And I have to go back to kind of rule one. If you are designing a bioweapon to kill billions of people, you're sure as hell going to build something to protect yourself. Call it an antidote. I don't care what you want to call it. Something that'll counter the effects. Otherwise, you'll wipe yourself out. That makes no sense whatsoever. None. So he's right.
But I truly believe that's what's happening. And I believe that we're just now starting to see it. Just now starting to see it. We're 4, almost 5 years. And this is going to continue to unfold. And the doctors aren't going to say anything. The doctors have to be seeing this. And there's never going to be any evidence of what I'm saying compiled in one place. And the doctors aren't going to say anything because doctors aren't freaking Navy SEALs they're not inherently courageous, and when they see this stuff happening, they're not going to talk and speak out about it.
No, they're trained in medical school to be big pharma hucksters. They push pharma. That's what they're trained to do.
Well, and it's symptom management. It isn't cures, it's symptom management.
No, of course not. You don't want to cure cancer, for example. You want to, quote, manage it.
Right.
Well, who did we just talk about? Damn it, spent $1.2 million on his health?
Oh, Joe Tibbins.
Joe. Yes, $1.2 million until he found fenbendazole. All right, mm-hmm. Here we go.
There's no telling what the scale of this actually is. Do you realize the implications if what I'm saying is actually true, if my theory is actually correct? Do you realize the freaking implications of that? If there are people out there who designed this thing to basically deteriorate the health of the majority of humanity and slowly kill people off over time, We're getting toward the end, buddy. That if that kind of power and that kind of evil does actually exist, and I'm right. So what do you do about it, man? A lot of people ask me, what do you do when you're freaking down and out and sick, or you got some weird health thing going on? Especially if you're like me and you're used to being fit and active and having goals and plans and all this stuff. See, all my stuff has changed as of now. My whole life has changed as of now. What do you do? There's no profound answer to that. You just keep living, man. You just keep living. You can have a day or two to sit around and bemoan your station and be poopy pants about what's happening to you, but after that, you just got to get up and freaking get back on your feet and figure out what it looks like for you to just keep living in the meantime until things get better or you freaking die. That's what you do. It's what I see everybody doing. People that are way sicker than I am, that's what I see them doing. They just figure out what it looks like to keep living as best they can, to the highest possible level that they can live.
Okay, that's pretty much his message right there. It's another minute, but he talks about other things as well. You can find this video if you want to look at it. Please do share it. Look under our names and guests. Probably put it up on the archive side of the homepage as well. Chad, that's as good a statement as you're going to get from what we could call every man America. He's the great majority. Not because he hasn't been injected, don't worry about that aspect of it, but he's talking about this very logically, and he's beginning to face, after 4 years, the reality of what's been done to humankind.
Yeah, it was a little more than a cold virus.
They lied from before day one. I mean, this thing is so evil. And that's why we do believe that by and large, they are quite well satisfied with getting 14 billion injections out there, 700 million in the U.S. And as you know, if you listened to us last program, we've done our research again and finding out that Walgreens is pumping out about 100 shots a day until they ran out recently. But when they get the new variant in of the vax in September, they're going to get right 100 a day. One pharmacy. And Rite Aid was 50. These are admitted in round numbers. So Americans are still tragically, incomprehensibly following what they're told to do and rolling up their sleeves. 6, 7, 8 shots. And the immune systems of these people now with their sludge blood and everything else, T-cell destruction, if they, you know, it's the same group, if they decide to let this bird flu go, and it's tweaked, and it's jumping species now, if they decide to turn this loose as a terminator virus, it's going to go through the vaxxed portion of this population like a power lawnmower.
I would say you're right.
Okay, let's take a look at our files here, the COVID Chronicle files, and see what we've got. Let's see here. That's not it. Where is it? What kind of things do we have here, if I can get my...
Well, I took some from CJD had a surge of newcomers, CJD group, this past week, so I grabbed some of those. It's incredible, you know, how many people are turning up in these neurological groups now, CJD being the most striking.
Yeah. Quick preface. CJD was a disease, a fatal brain disease, that showed up in about 1 in a million people 4 or 5 years ago. Now we're looking right into the teeth of at least a minor pandemic of CJD, which has a basket full of symptoms, which you can get along with for a while, but how many times have we told you and reported about people who go in and end up with stage 4 CJD or whatever stage they use, stage 4 cancers? This thing is, it's as if the control group has achieved its target and it's sitting back and just watching now, watching the die-off. All right, where do you want to start here? 33-year-old with blood clots, CJD?
Jump into the CJD. There's a couple different ones. You pick.
Okay. CJD, not CJD. Is that a good one?
Oh, that's an interesting one.
All right, let's try interesting. Okay, go ahead with the first one.
Has anyone had a loved one get diagnosed with CJD, but then the autopsy showed no prion disease? My dad passed away last December, and all the doctors thought it was CJD. The lumbar puncture showed high tau proteins, but they were not able to see the RT quick because blood was in the sample. I believe that's what they said. So they advised us to go to hospice because at that point he was already on a vent and unable to function. He passed 10 days later. We were so sure he had CJD, so hearing the autopsy come back with no prions was a huge shock.
All right, this is a very important thread. If, in fact, I think what do we come up with? 60-65% on autopsy were determined to indeed have died of CJD, but about 35%, thereabout, did not show classic CJD holes in the brain damage.
Yeah, so that's from the published record. I have it here. Somebody answers the question. So that didn't happen to me, but when I looked at the table of cases examined in the U.S., you can see that every year they test a certain number of suspected CJD samples, and only some of them come back as positive. Of the 8,749 samples tested in the last 25 years, only 5,435 were prion disease.
Okay.
So, obviously, there can be other conditions that mimic CJD, but, you know, the gold standard for diagnosing these neurodegenerative brain diseases is autopsy, you know, where you actually go into the brain and look at it, and you can see the characteristic holes.
So what we're saying here is that there's something else of a neurological baseline that is destroying
mm-hmm.
people as well.
Yep.
What in the hell is that? 5,400 out of 8,000 CJD confirmed. 3,500 2,500 out of 8,000, not CJD. So what the hell's going on here? What have they done to make this thing even more diverse in its neurological destruction of the human brain? This is really of concern. All right, here's the second one in this thread. Exactly the same for my dad. We still question if it was or not even after the autopsy, as everything seemed box standard CJD in terms of behavior and steady and rapid deterioration. He also passed very quickly after he was sent to hospice. Did you get a result, what it was? And a person comes back and says, no, since it wasn't a full autopsy. They only tested for the prions. We didn't pay for the full. I go back and forth on if it's worth it to pay for the full one, if we even still can, I don't know, if there is a certain time frame you have to do it in. And answer back to that, it's so hard. My dad passed nearly 3 years ago now, and I will never have a clear idea of what caused his death. And another comment, CJD Foundation can test the person if you donate the person to the foundation. So you package up the body of your loved one and send it off to the CJD Foundation? I guess that's what they're saying.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. Finish this off.
Let's see. Okay. My dad passed away a week ago. We had the exact same result on the lumbar puncture and currently in the process of the autopsy. I can give you an update after we get the results back. All right. And so I already read that last one. So we can...
All right. So just to reiterate, 8,000 tested autopsy-wise, 5,400 proven CJD was the cause, the classic CJD. 2,600 or thereabout, no CJD. I'm not sure if that includes prions or not, but no holes in the brain, no obvious overt physiological damage and destruction of the brain. So what killed these people if they had all the rest of the symptomology of CJD?
Now, that would be interesting to know. If they did determine if it's not CJD, then what is it?
Well, they're not talking. Okay. Go ahead with the first CJD thread.
Okay. Hello. I'm so sorry for everyone's loss due to this horrendous disease. I am hoping to gain some insight from others about what their loved one's symptoms were like 2 months into it or so. We lost my aunt from CJD recently and have had so many unanswered questions about her symptoms in the early stages, just hoping for some sort of clarity. Thanks. And many responses. With my mother, well, with my partner, the first noticeable sign was difficulty finding words. Looking back, there were earlier signs, but we thought it was because she was very stressed. She was irritable and paranoid about people at work, both unusual for her. After the speech, she had weakness on the right side. She declined rather quickly from October 19 to December 12, 2023. And somebody from Italy, Marco, says, I'm sorry for what happened to you. How old was she? Pardon the question, but was she vaccinated with mRNA? And she answers, she was 48, and yes, she was vaccinated for COVID, but it had been a year before she became symptomatic. And Marco replies, that damn drug. It's an unprecedented massacre. Prions start to do damage. That is then visible shortly before the end. We are in disastrous times. I stand close to you.
Wow. All right, another part. Our loss was a next-door neighbor. He was diagnosed in March and passed away in April. That's 4 weeks, friends. 5 weeks. He had been having speech problems over the winter, but he still went to work every day. See what I've been saying over and over again? You'll see these people out, they're working, they're shopping, they've got grievous problems, but they're still ambulatory. By springtime, His speech was clear again, but he forgot how and where to drive. He got lost coming home from work. He wasn't eating the food we were bringing him, and he seemed so lost sometimes. Then his balance wouldn't work. He kept falling. That was when he was hospitalized and diagnosed. He passed just 3 weeks later. Someone asks, vaccinated with mRNA? That's Marco again. And I don't know was the answer to that. Another one, my sweet little sister died from this also. You see how this is all over the place?
Yeah.
He had an autopsy because her kids wanted to know if hereditary, no, thank goodness, had been a contributor. Started going to the hospital about August 14th, turned 65 August 15th, gone October 22nd. Though we thought it was a stroke related at the beginning, oh, how I wished it was a stroke. I believe hers came from blood transfusions, at Hopkins during a complicated surgery. You don't want blood transfusions, dear friends. No one will ever be able to convince me otherwise. Oh, how I miss her every single day. She was my girl, my little sister. Someone asks, can I ask if she was vaccinated with the mRNA against COVID? Go ahead.
And there was no reply to that. Another person says, my sweet little sister died from this. Never had an autopsy. There are no words to describe. I believe it was the mRNA shot. Skin cancer surgery. I miss her so very much. And Marco says to that, I also think the mRNA vaccines are causing a carnage. Next person, my husband had balance issues, vision issues, extreme difficulty sleeping, and I realized after the fact issues with memory and problem solving. He just seemed off sometimes. Another person says, our dad experienced stroke-like symptoms. Slurring speech, tremor in his hand, involuntary jerking movements. Over a few weeks, he lost complete mobility on his left side. Couldn't move his arm, dragging left foot. Doctors looked into Parkinson's, MS, and ALS as the symptoms mimicked those diseases. Later, the dementia-like symptoms began. First symptoms began November 2023, and he was gone by January 2024, about 10 weeks.
Okay, last one in this thread. Marco asks again, was he vaxxed? We don't have an answer to that. My brother was sent to hospital due to falling. He had all of his faculties. He had a blood test, and they kept him in. He started to become confused, calling his mom and dad to pick him up, as he thought he was stranded somewhere. Then he lost his mobility and became bedbound. He was still eating and drinking extremely well, but his confusion became worse. That you look like he got dementia. His speech became slurred. He could no longer use his phone after Christmas. He began to sleep a lot. His knees were brought up to his chest in January. He could not recognize me when I went to visit him a few visits. We had doctors from Edinburgh and London to discuss the family illness. Go ahead, finish that.
He was diagnosed on the 22nd of January that he had CJD. We managed to get him home on the last week before he passed away, where he ended up going into a coma the day after he got home and no longer drank or spoke. He passed away on the 5th of February last year. My brother had hormone injections when he was younger to help him grow. We were told that in 1985 they stopped these injections as they found out people who had the same batch as my brother had CJD as the treatment was contaminated with CJD, and we were told that my brother was lucky to reach 60. It was heartbreaking as three months previous he was celebrating his 60th birthday, and he had a big party. My heart goes out to everyone who has lost a friend, relative, partner. It is a terrible disease.
It is that and worse. All right.
No, we don't know his vax status or if he had the virus.
No. But this is not something you want, and many of you are going to unfortunately witness it, I think, before this is all over. Anything you want to add here?
No.
All right. Very good. Thank you. Talk soon. Good job.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
And we'll pause on that note and come right back with in just a few. Hold on.